It's not any way to kind of beat around the bush and say as we journey through the wilderness that, you know, it's going to be a pleasant experience. It's not. It's a joyful thing. But we are somewhat, for those of you who haven't been here as we're on this series, we determine that the world is a wilderness. Just like they were traveling through the wilderness in Egypt, we're traveling through the wilderness called America, or the world. It's two roads, the narrow road or the broad road that you can be on. It's two ways you can operate in the wilderness, in the spirit or in the flesh. And it was five things that prevented them from getting to the promised land that God had for them. The same five things that would prevent us from getting to the promised land or to the promise of the abundant, complete life that we have in Christ. The same thing. So we picked it up. Verse 1, Paul told us our history with God. So we have a different history. Our history is Christ and Christ crucified. That's our history. That's what we share. That's what we talk about. That's what saves. That's what delivers. That's what sets free is Christ and Christ crucified. Anything else is world history, which has been influenced by Satan. And it keeps you apart from God as opposed to bringing you closer to Christ. This is what the scriptures have taught us so far. We look at verse 5 as they were going through the wilderness. Remember, the trip should have taken them 11 days, but it took them 40 years. And only two made it out of 2.5 million people. Only two made it. That was Joshua and Caleb. The other ones died right there in the wilderness. So we need to know these five things so we don't die in the wilderness of our dysfunction and never get to where God wants us to go. So it says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Verse 5, for they were overthrown. They were killed and died in the wilderness. Now, these were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. That was number one. They were in the wilderness. They forgot about God. They forgot about the promise. And they started lusting after evil things. They became evil, acting evil. And it prevented them from getting to the promise that God had for them. Then we picked it up in verse 7. It says, neither be idolaters, worshiping false gods, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So that's number two. They were into idol worship. Then that led us to Exodus 32. So let's go there. 32:1, Exodus 32:1. To see exactly what does idol worship look like. You know, an idol is anything that you place above God. It said they were eating and drinking and rose up to play. And they, when you look at it in the Hebrew and the Greek, they were just into all kind of wild stuff. In the wilderness, forgot all about God, into all types of wild stuff in the wilderness. Completely forgot about what God had for them. And family, if we're not careful, we will do the same thing. We have done the same thing. So it said they worshiped idols, which are people, places, and things, every day while they were in the wilderness. And you know, in the culture we have brands and logos and politics and political parties. We have companies, movie stars, rap stars, Emmys and Oscars and music and church and pastors and singers. We idolize everything but God. And it's nothing wrong with appreciating things, but when you place them above God and they become your God, then that's idol worship. All right, so I have a lot of read this, Sister Kathy, so I'll be reading a lot of this. So let me try to figure out the best way to do this, but I want to read the scriptures. Starting at verse 1. And when 32:1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, we don't know Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. All right, make a note, family. Number one, impatience leads to idol worship. When you get, and it's a problem too. I mean, it's look at the layers of the problem. Number one, they were focusing in on Moses. Whenever you take your eyes off of God and start looking at a man, a woman, or a person, then you are in trouble already. So they were waiting on Moses. So actually, they weren't connected to God. They were connected to Moses, where their relationship should have been with God. Amen. So your relationship is, well, you and I, we have a relationship, but your relationship, I'm trying to push you into the presence of God so that you have a relationship with God. That's why we talk about it. Been talking about it for the last 3 or 4 years. Get up early every morning. Spend 10 minutes with God in worship. Have your worship song. Praying every morning. Your connection has to be to God. And when you do that, it eliminates the idols and it exposes the idols as well. Amen. When I spend time with God, then I realize, oh man, I need to. God speaks through his word, through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And he lets me know I need to kind of cut some things out because they're taking the place of God. Family, it's nothing more important than for you and I to spend time with God every day. It's nothing more important than that, to have that connection with God. So here they are, they want to be connected to Moses, and then when Moses is taking too long, they connect themselves with another man, Aaron. Instead of going to God, they don't go to God, they go to Aaron. And then Aaron, who's a leader, as opposed to him pointing them to God, he says, go get a bunch of stuff. Look at it in verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. You're bringing in the whole family. When we start worshiping idols, make no mistake, your family sees it. Men, our kids see it. They know what we really worship. They know what we're really in love with. And they see it. And then we involve them. Whether we do it directly or indirectly, we involve them. Because they see what we're doing. Because they live with us. Or they don't live with us, but they see what we're into. So we involve the kids and our wives. He said, bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashion it with a graving tool. Make a note, it takes an effort to worship an idol. It doesn't happen overnight, but it takes effort. You've put time into it. Instead of putting time in with God, you've put time into the idol. And now it looks like a golden calf and you've engraved it. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods of Israel which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How soon we forget what God has done for us. How do they go from the Red Sea parting to building a golden calf and saying, this is what delivered us? It's because you don't have the connection with God. So I have some read this. So let me read this. And is Jesus Christ enough? The children of God, the children or the people of God, had their eyes on Moses and not God. Then they shifted their eyes to another man named Aaron. Then they shifted their worship to the gods of the Egyptians, which was the gold, because that's what they were familiar with. So make a note. Family, we have to be careful not to worship a god of our own design, or a god of your own mind. If you don't know the word, all you know is what you're familiar with. And you'll talk to your coworker and say, do you go, hey, have you ever thought about going to church? Or, well, you know, me and God, we're cool. See, that's a god of your own design. That's an idol. Oh, no, I have my own little private thing at home and I'm good. That's a god of your own mind, and that's dangerous. And it's a god of your own design, and it's dangerous, and it's an idol. It happens all the time. The holiday season is coming up. You tell me if it's any difference between Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and a golden calf. I'm not saying don't celebrate them. I'm just saying some people take it too far. Some people don't know the difference. You as a born-again believer, you have to use that as an opportunity to show what these things are really about. It's about Christ and Christ crucified, because that's the only thing that really saves us. Because we are a new creation in Christ. We have to be focused and keep our attention on Christ. Your connection, my connection, is to be with God, and that's it. When you put more emphasis on your pastor, or your spouse, or your boss, or your children, more than God, you make them your idol. Amen. It's all around. So I told you, it's a sobering message. I'm going through it. I'm like, oh, God. But I got to give it to you just like he gave it to me. See, family, make a note if you haven't already. God created us with this hole in our heart that only he can fill. We were created to worship. We were created to worship God. You will worship something. Trace and I were watching TV the other day, and they're going to open a Hello Kitty store. Why? Because people need something to worship. And if it's Hello Kitty, they're going to worship Hello Kitty. If it's the Rams, the Raiders, the Chargers, LeBron, Magic, you are going to worship something, your job, your kids, because we're created to worship. You have to worship something. Amen. Satan will make sure to distract you while you're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness trying to get to the other side, and they're building golden calves. What were they doing? They were building golden calves in the wilderness. Forgot all about what God had for them. What are we doing? We're doing the same thing. And we'll die in our dysfunction, and we'll never get to where God is trying to take us. When you wake up in the morning, you have to go through your progressions, as we call them in sports and quarterback. You go through your checkdowns, and you wake up and you talk to God. He's your Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first and the last. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. It's Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah. He's there. He's peace. Go through your progressions. Acknowledge God for who he is. Amen. Family, we have to make Christ our first love. Youth, you have to make God your first love. It puts everything back in perspective. And then it guards us from letting idols creep in. There should be no room in your heart for an idol. There should be no room in your heart for an idol to creep in. All right, here's a revelation. You can be a child of God and find yourself in the midst of the wilderness worshiping an idol, or many idols, or false gods for 40 years or more, and you will die in the midst of that dysfunction and never experience the promised land or the complete life in Christ that God has for you and I. We will get so distracted, we'll miss it. We'll get so distracted, we'll miss it. All right, so Pastor, what else do you want to say? This is what I want to say. You will worship something. It's a college, fraternity, a sorority. It's something. Just pause and think about, what am I really into more than God? Is there anything that I'm into more than God? All right. I need you to do a little homework today. I didn't get no amens, God. I feel like when I was teaching school. We got some homework today. Ain't nobody happy about that. Just do a little homework today. I want you to watch 30 minutes, with this being football season, I want you to watch 30 minutes of the football game. Just 30. That's all you have to watch. Some of us will watch more. I'll watch about 30 and I'll fall asleep and wake up and catch the end of it. And that's the best part. That's my Sunday routine. Amen. But I want you to watch at least 30 minutes of the football game. Anyone, Sister Kathy, don't even matter. Channel 2, Channel 4, or Channel 11. Don't even matter. Somebody text Sister Kathy later and let her know when the game is on and what channel. Sister Sherry, because I know Sister Sherry is my big sports fan. Will you text Kathy, let her know what channel, even let her know who's playing and all that. Okay. Give her a little background. Okay. I want you to look at the passion of the fans, the coaches, the players, the audience, the announcers. Pay close attention to the commercials as well. See what idols that they are trying to influence you and I to worship. Take a special note of how passionate people are over a game, a golden calf. Take note of how much thought and effort has gone into a game. People have built their whole life around a game. Or any other idol you want to insert that. I'm just saying, since it's football season, take 30 minutes. Look at the game and look at the commercials. Has no eternal value at all. Just a golden calf that people worship daily. Then as you continue to watch TV or whatever you're doing, repeat the activity and check it out. Youth, do it with the songs that you listen to. Well, I got a few youth in here. Yeah, youth, do it with the songs that you listen to. And then let me know, what are they trying to get you and I to worship? Man, it's tough. Whew. Everything is trying to distract me from staying close to God. Everything else is trying to trump God, trying to elevate itself above God. You and I have to fight because we're in a spiritual warfare. We have to be prepared for battle daily because it's not going to go anywhere. And speaking of worship, just a suggestion. When you come in here and we worship corporately, close your eyes and tell Jesus how awesome Jesus is in your life. So it's just an extension of what we should have been doing at home. It just come together. I was listening to Pastor Francis Chan, and he was saying that after service, a guy came up to him and said, "You know, Pastor, I didn't really like the worship today." And he told him, "I didn't know it was for you. I thought it was for Christ. You need to get your mind right." I said, "Wow, Pastor, okay. I thought the worship was, oh, I really liked it. But it wasn't for you. You're supposed to have your focus up there." Just profound stuff. The audacity for us to come and try and take some of God's glory and want to be worshiped to be about us. Come on, folks. Okay, all right, so here we go. Let me show you one of our worship scriptures, which I've given you before. But let's go there, since we're talking about... Because if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. Make a note of this scripture. Some of you should already have it. Most of you should already have it, because it should be incorporated in your morning prayer time. First Chronicles 29 and 10. And put this in its full context. This is one of David's last things that he does before he dies. David is on his deathbed and he's still able to bless God. That's a message within a message. When you're at the end of your life, can you still bless God? "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, 'Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. I'm on my way out, but God, I'm going to bless you. I'm not complaining. I'm not trying to get revenge. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm going to bless God on my way out.'" And then look at verse 11. Make a note of this. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Oh, I love this. I've been meditating on this for weeks. I wake up and I get to my word, and I just, before I start my day, it's nothing that can bother me. It's nothing can distract me. I mean, I started off with my mind on Jesus, and you say, well, pastor, you're supposed to. But I was doing this before I became a pastor. Just because there's so much going on out there, you cannot walk out of your house and not understand who God is in your life. And with all the things that come our way. But I tell you this, Lord, you are the greatness and the power, and you're the glory. I don't have to worry about losing because you are the victory and you're in me. You are the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. What can stop you on your way to whatever God has planned for you that day? Yeah. I want you to underline a few words. In verse 10, underline all. And in verse 11, underline all. It's trying to send you a message here. Got all twice in verse 11. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours, and thine is the kingdom above, what? Above all. Oh Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. So, of course, I had to break those words down in the Hebrew, greatness. Greatness means mighty acts. This is the character and the attribute of God. That's why I'm not going to worship anything else. I'm not going to let a golden calf be built in my life to worship it. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we don't love and appreciate things. I have it right here, Sister Kathy, so I won't forget it. We can love and appreciate, adore, cherish, enjoy, bless other people, places, and things. Amen? Amen. We can do that. You're not walking around with your heads in the cloud and you can't appreciate things. That's what I'm not saying. Let me say it again. We can love, appreciate, adore, cherish, enjoy, bless other people, places, and things. Your job. I love, cherish, adore, and so appreciate my wife and my kids, Jay and the other two, my church family. I love you all so much. I adore, cherish you all. You're bright, you're brilliant, you're beautiful, you're intelligent. You add to everything that God is doing here. I even cheer for my favorite team. My favorite team. Let's go, man. You missed a shot, you idiot. I mean, I'm cheering. Okay, man, you sorry. Dude, what are you doing? Get him out of there. I'm cheering. You hear what I'm saying, family? But I don't worship anything but my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love and cherish and adore and appreciate you all and my family. I love it, man. I'm passionate like that. But I don't worship anything but Jesus Christ. Nothing goes above God. Why? Because he's the power and the greatness and the glory, the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven and all in earth is his. It's his kingdom, and he's exalted above all, and it gets better. Look at verse 12. Man, this is for us. Because we got the wrong formula, the wrong blueprint. We've been worshiping the golden calf, and then verse 12 tells us, both riches and honor come of thee. God, you reign over all. Underline all again. And in your hand, in God's hand, is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Underline all again. God's got it all covered. We've been worshiping and going after the wrong things. The enemy's distracted us and got us in the wilderness chasing and building a golden calf. And God said, I got so much for you right here. You should have been there 11 days ago, but now it's 40 years and you're still going around in circles chewing grass. Greatness, mighty acts, power, strength and might, bravery, force and mastery, glory, beauty, splendor, honor, rank and brilliance, victory, everlasting, endurance, perpetual truthfulness, confident, constant. Majesty is excellence and good.
God.
Now, why would you wake up and get into anything else before you got into that? Why would you waste your time getting into something else before you got into that? Everything else is just a footnote. All right, let's take it a little bit deeper. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That's why we praise. If you don't know why you come and praise and worship God, if you don't know why you should give all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength to God, then meditate on this all week. And then David throws this little curve in there. And he shifts to worship in verse 14. And an offering. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? So he's letting you know that offering is a part of worship. All right, let me try that again. That when you give your offering, it's part of worship. Because you recognize that God is the greatness, he's the glory, he's the majesty, he's the victory, and that he can do more with the 10% than you can do with 90%. But God said, do you trust me like that? You don't know who I am. That's for those who don't tithe. And, you know, we don't play no games, no tricks, no gimmicks. We never will, never have. But this is the word. He said, how can I offer up? I'm talking about worship and all that you are. He said, but God, look what he says. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort for all? Underline all things come of thee and of thy own hand have we given thee. He said, God, you blessed me with everything. So how am I giving back to you? You gave it to me. How can I? We just offer so willing. Because you gave it to me, Lord. So I give it back to you because I know that you're the greatness, the power, the victory, the majesty, and the glory. And you got it all covered. Say, giving is a form of worship because everything comes from God. When you don't understand that, then you say either two things. I'll trust God or I'll put more faith in my golden calf than I will God. I'll put more in my golden calf than I would God. Make a note, family, too. We buy and we pay for what we want to pay for. That's it. Well, I can't afford to give. I beg to differ. I remember earlier this year we had our couples retreat. So I call a guy, and, you know, because it's nobody here because we opened up to other couples. So it was nobody in here. None of the men in here. So I said, now doing a couples retreat, only $150, which that's not even a hotel, but we supplement. So it's $150. I don't have it. Okay. All right. And, you know, I don't say, well, we could cover. I don't say that. You just said, I don't have it. Call the same guy. You know, hey, 2 weeks later, got tickets to the Laker game, right above the floor level seats. Two tickets, $500. Oh, man, hold on, man. I'll get back. What, you still got them? You still got them? I'll get back with you. An hour later, I got them. I'm there. Wow, really? We pay for what we want to pay for. We worship a golden calf or we worship God. And that's it. That's real. As if the Lakers going to save your marriage. As if that golden calf that we've built is going to deliver us from anything. Folks, the second thing that kept them in the midst of the wilderness for 40 years, the first one was lusting after evil things. They just went buck wild, doing evil stuff, whatever you can think of, killing, murdering. We went over all that in Galatians 5. We went over those things. And then in addition to that, because this was one of those things, was the idol worship. So here we go. Let me say this, and then we're going to wrap it up, because you know how we do it. It's a link sausage. We're going to stop, cut it off, and then we'll finish the link next week. The other half of the link sausage. So Family, please be aware of the spiritual warfare we are in while we are in the midst of the wilderness. As you're going through, understand that you are in spiritual warfare. That the enemy's trying to distract you and keep you in the wilderness, where God is trying to get you to focus on him as he leads you through the wilderness to get you to where he wants you to be. We got two options. Either we're going to stay in the wilderness and worship the golden calf, or we're going to get through the wilderness to where God has for us, and then we're going to disciple, make disciples, and help others to get through. And the sad thing is, isn't what people are doing. It's the sad thing is that they never get to where God, they never get to what God has for them. That's the sad commentary. Not that you're shacking up, not that you're doing this, but God has something so much better for you, and you never get there. And you're worshiping the golden idol, the golden calf. And that's the spiritual warfare that we're in. So let me finish with this, family. That's why it's so important to fall in love with Jesus daily. You have to wake up. The idols are vying for your attention. I don't even have to tell our youth about social media. They're vying for your attention. Social media is an idol. Your phone is an idol. Your computer, your job, your business. The gym is an idol. You have to be careful. You have to make sure nothing elevates itself above God. And so let's just finish. I want to finish just with a worship song. I just want us to end on a worship and just focus in on God. And we'll pray and then we'll dismiss. So I have my team come on back up. And if you would, just bow your heads. And if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, invite Christ into your heart today. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life, then just that's between you and God. Connect your heart back to God's heart. Think of the greatness. Dominique, can you put it on? Let the words go then. Just think about God being the greatness, the victory, as that's playing, the majesty, the glory, the brilliance of God, the strength of God, the awesomeness of God. Elevate God high above your issues and your situations, your circumstances, that contract, that business, that deal, that kid, that grandkid. Elevate God way above that. Put God back on his throne. Everything else comes after that. That relationship, put God back above that relationship. Put God back on the throne.